see if I can get this little button here turned on right. How's that?
All right, it's good to see you tonight. Once again, let me say to you that whenever I say that it's been our utmost honor to be in this church and to pastor it all these years, me and the wife being able to serve together here, I mean every bit of that, every bit of that. And what a blessing that you are and have been and through the years. And so we look forward to the great coming day of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Proverbs. And if you find the place, chapter 25, Proverbs chapter number 25. And we'll start in verse number 1 as we look there in that chapter. Proverbs in chapter number 25. I'll give you a second. We'll look in verse 1. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. The heaven for height and the earth for depth, and the heart of the kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. All right, notice if you will, please, in verse number 19. Verse 19 said, confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Just in case we don't deal with that much, what that is, a broken foot or a broken tooth and a foot out of joint, can't take the pressure. Can't put a lot of pressure on that. Then verse number 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. It is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search out their own glory is not good. And he says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word. We do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. By the devil, if a demon assigned to hinder, we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to look at these passages, if you will, please. There are several things that are in this lesson that we're looking at. One of them is, in verse 17, we didn't read it, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. Man, when it gets from fellowship to hating you, you've been too long at that house.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you're having trouble with people coming to your house. No, no, I mean, it's good to have, but I used to have somebody every time I looked up, and I'm not talking about family and friends and everything. I'm not talking about that right there. You can drop in at my house anytime. But this old boy would come, stay with you. While it was daylight, stay with you till after dark. And when it got midnight, he'd just tell his wife, with them four or five wild kids he had, we might as well spend the night now. I've seen a few things in the ministry. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, I want to say to you that there's some good news that we've got that's not just simply talking about things that are bad and having to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a wild house with a brawling woman. There's some good news from a far country. Now, in the lesson when we started out, let me tell you something. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. I believe it's in Deuteronomy 29:29. I believe that's the passage for it. Let me look it up right quick and just see. But in Deuteronomy 29:29, that the Bible said, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now in our text that we've read tonight, it's the honor and the glory to God to be able to conceal a thing. In other words, you'll find that men, that we ought to be, when we study the Bible, we ought to be digging up some nuggets out of it that's going to be more precious than gold. And let me tell you what you're looking at there. When you see that, you're going to find out that God conceals it. Some of the scriptures are a little obscure to us. And when we dig it up and dig it out, it's ours to claim forever. And it's good to be able to know the Lord and to know how he does and why he does that. Now, in this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, he talks about the dross. You know, if you never spend any time digging in the Word of the Lord, you're not going to get any cleansing from it, and you're going to run with the wrong crowd that doesn't have any cleansing with them. This Bible said there that whenever you take away the dross from the silver, then it's a vessel fit for the finer. Now, also, too, that when you begin to look into it, if you take away the wicked from before the king, he'll have a throne that's established in righteousness. Now, you know, in the day and hour we're living in, the thing that's killing America is godless, wicked, imbecile thinking people that are leading the country that have no regard for God, the Bible, and good, right, moral, and decent. Now, I know tomorrow night they're supposed to have two old men debating. They're not going to allow any crowd there. They're not going to allow any news reporters or anybody there to help with notes. They're going to cut off whosoever's microphone. It's not your time to speak, so if he's beating the other guy up too bad, namely if Donald Trump gets on Biden too much, they'll cut him off. I'm wondering if you're not going to have any advertisement, people are not going to be saying, what's the use of having the thing to start out with? But I already know myself by just listening on a regular basis on television, I already know. Is that Biden, Kane hardly don't know who he is, where is that about half the time? I was listening to a comedian, and he had a picture of that. He had a picture of Biden, and he had a picture of Michelle Obama. And he said, I want everybody to understand, I want somebody to know, is that I respect this man. And he said, you know, people are asking me, and I don't care what you say. I respect this man, and I don't blame him for marrying Barack. You getting it? Everybody's accusing her of being a man. And let me tell you, I'm not sure that they're not right. All I said about that whenever I begin to look into this is that you'll find the reason we live in such a godless, wicked company and country that we live in. School teachers are wicked. What do you think they're going to pass on to your kids? You're going to find that politicians are wicked. They're going to work. Listen, the job you've got, they tried to do what they can to make it a law to where they can fire you if you don't line up with them, and you can't say anything about, you know, the queer bunch. You say queer, you're in trouble. But let me just tell you, make no mistake about it, is that you can call them perverts, you can call them fags, you can call them bags, you can call them whatever you want to call them, is that something's wrong with this perverted-minded thinking. You shouldn't be going to church here if you think otherwise. Because you're going to be in trouble one of these days. One of these kids liable to say something that you'll be embarrassed, and the dean of the college. And by the way, we've got a few folks that have made the dean's list. Congratulations to you. I was in the third grade, and I was on the teacher's list quite a bit. And I didn't have any passing grades that I had to perform either. I just say, you're on my list, and in this lesson that we're looking at here tonight, let me say to you that this world is corrupt, is wicked, is godless. Make no mistake about it, that it's perverted up and down the road of life. And let me say to you, every now and again, it's good to hear some good news that comes from a foreign country. We've already heard some great preaching this week, and last week now, but we've heard some great preaching. We've had some great food. We've had some great fellowship. We've had some fabulous singing, and what a great congregation that have gathered together and to be able to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. But let me tell you something. Every now and again, it's good to hear some good news from a foreign country. Now, let me tell you one of them, so you'll know it, and I know you're going to know it, is that you're going to find out over in the book of Genesis, and you don't have to turn there, but in chapter number 45 and about verse number 28, there was a man who was a daddy. And his boy, he thought, had already been dead years ago because his brethren had sold him into bondage. And as a result of that, the devil had set him up on many occasions, but in the providence of God, God used him to sustain life back during that day, and his name was Joseph. Jacob, he mourned and bawled and was just brokenhearted over the fact that he thought and lived all those several years thinking that his son was dead. But whenever you read Genesis chapter number 45 and about verse number 28, he said, "And Joseph, my son, is alive." And I want to tell you something, that's good news from a foreign country. If you're a daddy like that, buddy, all of a sudden now you're mourning your son, and now you find out many years later he's alive, he's well, and he's been raised up by the hand of God to sustain life for not only the world, but for all, us as well as his family. And boy, let me tell you right now is that that was good enough for him. Here's another thing that whenever you're listening from a foreign country, you remember over there in the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, and about verse number 6, there's an angel sitting there at an empty tomb. And when they come to look for the Lord, you'll find that he says, "I know whom you seek. You're seeking Jesus, but he's not here, he's risen." That's good news, buddy, from a foreign country. We could go on and on, but suffice it to be able to say that, if you will, that whenever a person comes to know the Lord, that's good news. These gals that got saved and came forward and presented themselves for baptism, that's good news, friend. I'm going to tell you right now is when you got washed by the blood and born into the family of God. Now, first of all is you're going to have a thirsty soul for God. Blessed is the man that hungers and thirsteth after righteousness, for they'll be filled. And let me tell you right now that whenever you realize you're lost without hope and without God, it'll be good news from a foreign country that makes you realize who you are and makes you see how good he is and the grace of God that can be bestowed upon you. I got to say to you that when we begin to look into this lesson here, good news. You know what the good news is? It's the gospel message of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross over 2,000 years ago, bowed his head, gave up the ghost, said it's finished, resurrected the third day according to the promise and according to the scriptures. And let me tell you right now is he won victory over death, over hell, and over the grave. I got to tell you something is that he can give you something money cannot buy. Do you know over there in the book of Psalm 49, do not turn there, but you'll find there's no money can pay you out. There's no good deed can pay you out. Now let me tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take the blood of Jesus Christ to save your soul and snatch you as a brand from the burning. And make no mistake about it, when you get washed by the blood and born into the family of God, he has paid the ultimate sacrifice that you and I might be saved by his marvelous grace. Now I want to tell you something. If you read over there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll find out about verse number 1 all the way down through 4. He talks about the good news, talks about the gospel, about Jesus Christ. And let me say to you that, if you will, that when God enlightens your eyes, and you know he's the light of the world. And let me tell you something, the light of Jesus Christ, when it shines under your dark soul, he can save you and let you have the light in you, living in you. In fact, do you know the first time that light is mentioned? It's over in the book of Genesis in chapter 1. It's about verse number 4. And the Bible said, "And the light was good." And I got to tell you right now, Jesus Christ is the light. If you read 1 John chapter number 1, verse 4 and 5, 7 and 8, all of that in the very first chapter of the book of St. John, that when you read about that, you'll find that the Lord Jesus, he is that light. John the Baptist made it clear, said, "I'm not the light, but I came to bear witness of the light." And when you get saved, that's what you'll be doing. I want to say to you, the Bible said that he's the true light. And there's not another one besides him. To a thirsty soul, there's nothing better than being able to find out that you can't save yourself, but Jesus Christ is the true light that will shine and get rid of that darkness and give you grace and faith and repentance toward the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might be born again into the family of God. Now, the problem in the day and hour that we're living in, there's just not that many people that are thirsty for God. I mean, they're thirsty for entertainment. It's not hard to see that. They're thirsty for the games and fun and things of that nature, things that we like in and of ourselves, but that's not the ultimate for us. But let me tell you right now, is to a thirsty soul, you're not going to ever find anybody that can quench that thirst besides the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible said, blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's over in the book of Matthew in chapter number 5 and about verse number 6. Now, there's a passage there that we ought to look at. It's over in the book of Revelation. It's in chapter 21. And when you read in Revelation chapter 21, there's a passage over there that talks about taking the water of life and taking it freely. It kind of makes you wonder why there's anybody in the world dies without hope, without God, when all they have to do is by grace through faith, trust the Lord Jesus, and drink of the water of life freely. Won't cost you anything, it's already been paid for. All right, chapter 21, the book of Revelation, verse number 6. And he said unto me, it is done, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst. Are you thirsty? I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He's already paid the price. Look in chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 17. Chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I got to say to you, there's going to be some people, no doubt, that'll stand before the Lord and say, well, I just didn't feel like that I had enough money to be able to buy my way in. Look at it again, son. You can take of the water of life freely. It's already been paid for. It's nothing you're going to pay for. It's already been paid for. I got to say to you that when you get washed by the blood and born into the family of God, is that you not only have taken of the water of life freely, but back up there and look at verse number 14 of Revelation 22. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. I got to say that when you eat of the tree of life, you're going to eat of it freely. And make no mistake about it, when you come to know him in the free pardon of sin, do you know that the first time the word freely is mentioned over there in the book of Genesis in chapter number 2 and about verse number 16, he said to Adam and Eve, of all the trees that are out here in the garden, you may eat of freely. But you know what they did? They made the wrong choice. Chose the wrong tree. The one tree that God forbade that they eat, that's the very one they wanted. You ever notice that's how that we are? The very thing that we cannot have, that's the very thing we're going to want the most. And as a result of that, you're going to find out that we sometimes make the wrong choice hastily, hurriedly. And then let me tell you, there's going to be a price to pay for it. In closing tonight, I want to say to you that Jesus said over in the book of John, St. John chapter 7, verse 38, that he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, salvation's according to the word of the Lord, buddy. And he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, I want to tell you something right now, is that the word flow and the word freshness and the word freely, rivers. This water that flows out would fill up rivers. And I want to tell you something, is that you're going to find is that when you read that, we're not talking about a stagnant pool of religion. We're talking about the freshness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as a result of that, I'm glad to know him and to be saved in the free pardon of sin. Maybe you're not saved tonight. Maybe you're not. Well, I'm trusting it'll finally come knocking on your heart's door. It may be while you're in the bed asleep. It may be before you go to sleep. It may be while you're on the job. It could be when you're going up and down the roads of life. It could be while you're sitting in the house of God. But what I do know is it'll take the Holy Ghost of God to knock on your heart and to make you see yourself like he sees you, and see the grace and the mercy that he wants to bestow upon you. That's what it'll take. I'll be when your part is to submit and surrender unto him and to receive him in the free pardon of sin. I often, you've heard me say over and over again, I've often said this, is that if you have not yet committed and submitted your heart and life to Christ, what exactly are you waiting on? Now, I understand people that first time they ever showed up, something may take them a little bit longer to grab hold of it, but not you that are here. Not you that are here. Your hold back and draw back is something else. What exactly are you holding out for? I guarantee you right now is I've got my house in order, which means my life. And as a result of that, you're going to find out here's what happens, is that whenever you come to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, you don't want to go to bed and go to sleep with anything undone. What if the Lord comes tonight? See, you have to face Him. I'm sure He's going to ask, and it's going to be more embarrassing. See, what exactly are you waiting for? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Our Father, we want to say thank You for loving us even while we were unlovable. We ask You, Lord, that You'd move upon us and within us, and may You trouble any heart and every heart that needs to be submitted unto Thee. We thank You for these that You've saved and others that You're going to. We want to say thank You for the word of the Lord and the Spirit of God to lead us, guide us, and direct us into all the truth. Thy word is the truth. In Jesus' name we pray.